can look a look.
You can't, you know, this has been kind of weird on me. Hi, this is Bill Bedeck. I have no idea what just happened there. I was looking for the engineer. Major Tom wasn't here. I'm Bill. After yesterday, I know you're going, what the heck is going on with that guy? And what's going on over there? Let me say this about yesterday, and that's about all I can say, too, is yesterday was someone tried an idea at my expense, and you have to decide if you were shortchanged or not.
With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Hey, how about those Dodgers? Are they doing swell or what? I think, or what? About those Dodgers. Are they doing swell or what? I feel a conspiracy somewhere. Smokehouse Barbecue has been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Mo's has an enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Mo's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Mo Barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Wow. Now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open, ultra-high-field scanner in the world. And its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier, with radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases. San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best, the ultra high field open MRI. Only at San Luis Diagnostic Center.
That's right. And
all major insurances accepted.
Yeah. And insist on the best, because that's what you're going to find when you go to San Luis Diagnostic. They get you in on time. They do the thing right. They get you out fast. They just do the job. Okay. Let's do our who's and what's according to the Tribune today, and who's having a birthday and whatnot. And I'll mention the fact, of course, that Robin Good passed away, but I was not here yesterday to really talk about it. So I'll just mention today that we mourn his loss along with Whitney Houston. And I know number three is on its way. Our highlight in history, on May 22, 1972, President Richard Nixon began a visit to the Soviet Union during which he and Kremlin leaders signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, whatever that was. In 1761, the first American life insurance policy was issued in Philadelphia to a Reverend Francis Allison, whose premium was £6 per year. 10 years ago, the remains of Chandra Levy, the federal intern who had disappeared more than a year earlier, were found in Washington, D.C.'s Rock Creek Park. Birthdays today, ex-CNN anchor Bernard Shaw is 72, singer Morrissey is 53, Olympic gold medal speed skater Apollo Anton Ono is 30 today, so happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
It's your call, and the smartest one you can make is to Coastal Computers. There isn't another group of 10 people more dedicated to helping their clients get the most out of their business computers. Dedicated pros who enjoy helping people with their computers. They love making small business networks network and making the whole mess seem simple. Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers and technology just to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computer's first concern, and that includes making your operation painless and highly successful. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're certainly the real deal and worth a call. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com right now.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
We got stuff from CalCoastNews.com. If I was to say to you right here, if I say the federal appeals court that's known to be very liberal, you'd say San Francisco, right? Guess what? A federal appeals court known for its liberal leanings has affirmed the city's ability to ban medical marijuana dispensaries without violating disability mandates. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Fran issued its ruling Monday, saying it sympathized with a group of severely ill individuals seeking to preserve their basic human dignity with medical pot use, but the court ruled there are no legitimate exemptions to federal law, even though disabled persons might be adversely affected. The Obama administration supported the appeals court's decision. It's only getting worse for you. Part of the court's decision was based on the finding that users of illegal drugs cannot be considered disabled. The case in question involved two Orange County communities, Irvine and Lake Forest, both of which shut down medical marijuana dispensaries. The decision is pending by California Supreme Court, where the state's medical marijuana laws permit banning of dispensaries within city or county borders. But at this point, it doesn't look like it's going to matter, does it? Okay. Other things that are going on in our world. Things that are happening all around us all the time. Sometimes very fast they happen, and sometimes not so fast. That's how they happen, as the case may be. The staff of the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District is asking its board on Wednesday to approve a handful of fee increases, and we're going to find out what those are, because we're not even sure what they're doing now. This is to cover its growing budget needs, according to the agenda. Staff is requesting increasing DMV fees, APCD permit fees, CEQA review costs, and APCD testing and verification costs. In addition, they're seeking a ballot measure to increase parcel fees in order to help fill a $273,000 budget gap the agency is facing. District expenditures have grown from $2,438,000 during the 2001-2002 fiscal year to a budget now of $4,156,000. Some 75% of the agency's expenditures are for employee costs, according to the district's expenditure report. Of the district's 21 full-time employees in salaries, benefits, and fringes, 19 run over $100,000 a year. And the top earner, of course, is our executive director, Larry Allen, who's making $240,000 a year, according which is another bone of contention, which we won't really touch at the moment. But we'll touch it again. All right, other things that are going on around our county, other things that are happening. The Royal Grande Crossburners were sentenced to prison. Three of the four accused of committing a hate crime against a black teen in the Royal Grande last year was sentenced to prison on Monday. San Luis Obispo Superior Court Judge Jacqueline Duffy sentenced Jason Kahn, the guy with the swastikas on his head, to 12 years in prison for two counts of terrorism for committing a hate crime. During a preliminary hearing, prosecutors argued that Kahn demonstrated his affinity for white supremacy by sporting several swastika and white power tattoos, and that the cross burning was racially motivated. Sarah Matheny and William Soto received sentences of 5 years each for one count of arson and terrorism and for committing a hate crime. Fourth defendant is Jeremiah Hernandez, who pleaded not guilty and is trial is slated to conclude this week. His attorneys argued Hernandez had nothing to do with the cross burning. On March 18, 2011, Kahn, Hernandez, Soto, and Matheny allegedly set ablaze an 11-foot cross in direct view of the 19-year-old woman's bedroom in the home she resided in with her mixed-race family. And that's what's happening on CalCoast News right now today. Don't forget, you can go in there anytime of day, 24/7. New things come up, and don't forget, talk is cheap in the upper right corner. You can click on that, and it'll tell you what's going on. My guest is Richard, and he's coming here, and he'll be here in just a second, and we'll talk to him about important things.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
For three decades now, slow-roasted coffee has been waking up the Central Coast. Most of you already know that your local grocery stores carry slow-roasted coffee. But I'll bet you didn't know that you can now shop directly at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. That's right. Walk in the door and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. When you shop at Slow Roasted Coffee, you'll find an expanded variety of coffee choices. And when you buy a 10-pound bag of your favorite coffee blend, you'll save an additional 10%. One more good thing, you'll receive 2 free samples with your order. So come on by and see for yourself where Slow Roasted Coffee comes from. You can shop weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Just give them a call in advance, please. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. And they'll have your order waiting for you. Find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Slow Roasted Coffee, a tradition that tastes great.
Hi, I'm Michael, manager of the Natural Foods Co-op in San Luis Obispo. We are a non-corporate, community-owned grocery store that offers a healthy, alternative place to shop. At the Natural Foods Co-op, you'll find local organic produce and local pasture-raised meats, as well as organic grocery and bulk items. We have a large supplement section, as well as a bulk herb department with over 250 items. In the 37 years we've been in business, our goal has been to provide high-quality, healthy foods and supplements at the lowest prices possible. We have a friendly, knowledgeable staff that can help you with all your questions. Co-op members enjoy a discount at the register and better prices on special orders. However, we are open to the public and a membership is not required to shop. Come by and check us out at 745 Francis Avenue, right off Broad Street in San Luis Obispo, or give us a call at 544-7928. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7, closed on Sundays. Mention this ad and we'll give you a free t-shirt with your groceries. Natural Foods Co-op of San Luis Obispo. Everyone can shop, anyone can join.
All right, we're back, and we have Richard in the studio. Hi, Richard.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Bill.
Sorry. You thought I was just making a general statement,
yeah.
You know, to you. No, I was making, I was introducing you once again, because you've visited us before, so I just went on a first-name basis, I thought. And Richard's with the, Richard's with a lot of things, and that's part of what we're going to talk about today, some events that are coming up, some of the things that Richard's involved in. The big thing right off the top, of course, is that, and I always forget the chapter name and I forget number, but the Vietnam Veterans of America, and it's in Guadalupe, and it's chapter number
982.
Chapter 982. And so are you continuing to grow? Because the last time I talked to you, there was 12, 13 million people as part of this group.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, currently we are the largest chapter in California.
Really?
So, yeah. We are the largest chapter in California. We have members all throughout the state.
Why do you think that is? I mean, because you have to admit, Guadalupe is out of the way for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's only once a month, I guess.
Yes, it's only once a month.
Okay.
It's when you get into the room, into the meeting room, oftentimes, a lot of the veterans won't even participate, say, in the meeting, but there's a general feeling in the room that they keep coming back for. Mm-hmm. Last year on Memorial Day, I thought since it was a 3-day weekend that we were going to have a light crowd because our meetings are the last Saturday of every month currently. And, yeah, I was amazed that the room was just packed with veterans in there. And so it's just the fellowshipping. That's all it is, really.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's really nice. And the other thing, too, is that by belonging to the, if you're a Vietnam veteran and you're curious about this, first off, who can they call to join to get information about it?
Well, that's a good question. We have a...
The best thing is just show up.
The best thing is just show up, yeah.
Okay, now
there is a number. There is a number on the website. We do have a website, but it's kind of like being worked on, so sometimes, you know, people go to that. There's just your basics. Right now on the website. So there's a website that, you know, VVA Chapter 982. And so there is a website for that.
Now, so let me do this again so we have it locked in. It's the last Saturday of the month at 10 o'clock?
At 11 o'clock.
I was off only by 60 minutes.
Yeah.
11 o'clock.
If you get there early, that's good because everybody gets there early.
Exactly where is it?
Well, had I known you were going to ask me for the address, we'd meet at
no,
the
not
Guadalupe
an address.
School.
Was it where
yeah,
is?
It's at the Guadalupe Elementary
oh, okay.
School.
They only have an elementary school, don't they? Do they have a junior high?
They have a junior high and
oh, they have
elementary.
A junior high. Okay.
Yes. So this would be off 11th Street
okay.
In Guadalupe.
All right, off 11th Street in Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. Boy, you'd have to have a school to meet all of those many people.
Oh, there's a lot of kids there.
Holy
and
cow.
And oftentimes we go there to the schools to speak to the students for their history classes and whatever. They invite the Vietnam vets and other veterans to come in and speak to the students. So we got that.
I don't know if I told you this. I spoke to a high school class here a couple of weeks ago. Whew. You know, it's interesting because you forget what you keep to yourself.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? And so then when you start to talk about it, I had to drink water like by the gallon and stuff. It was like really weird. I did not expect that reaction, maybe because I've been speaking in public before.
Right.
But, man, I don't know why. It's talking about that
and
really got me.
We are going to be speaking at, there's four of us that will be speaking at Pioneer High School this Friday. We're going to be going over there and speaking to their, I think it's one class that we're going to be speaking to. And the thing about the first one I did in Borghetti High School, you kind of think, well, your thoughts, my thoughts were, they are not really interested in what we're doing. What
That's the first thing I
you
asked.
You know, that's part of their class. They're forced to sit there. They're a captive audience type deal. But I'll tell you, when they started asking questions, they were on their own. And they started asking questions.
Yeah.
And the other thing they did, these were seniors in Rigetti High School, the other thing they did was they wrote letters to us. They took the time to write letters to us.
That's cool.
And they did. And I, to this day, and that was like maybe 2 years ago, I opened one letter, and that was all I could read. I can't read the others.
Yeah.
And but from that one letter, I could see the sincerity of that student asking me or talking to me or telling me, you know, what their thoughts were. And it was too much, though. I just barely got through that one letter, and I put the whole package in the drawer. And it's still sitting there. I haven't gone back to it.
There was the interesting thing that I didn't expect, quite frankly, was they all got up and came up and shook my hand and thanked me for being there, which
very
I thought
respectful.
Was very nice. You know,
very respectful. And like I say, it's almost it was a surprise because I just didn't think that they would care. It was evident by the time I left that they did care.
The thing, of course, that they ask about is, and it's natural, I mean, that if you're that age, you're that age, you know, and it's natural, I think, that the thing they want to know about first is combat.
Right.
You know, what's it like? And so the very first question I got, were you afraid? And I said, if you don't count the fact that most of the year that I was there, I had to throw up, pee, poop, and smell bad the whole time. No, I was fine. It's like, you know.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if that kind of relates sometimes to their age, their generation, their games.
Right, right.
I mean, I go to people's homes and their kids are playing war games on television, and the vocabulary that they use is almost the same vocabulary that we used when we were over there. When you're talking about killing people and doing this, and I don't know, this is a personal issue with me, but I don't care for it. You know, especially there were games where they were the crooks and they were killing police officers, and this was a game on TV.
Wow.
I had my nephew put it away. I said, "No, not while I'm here. Please don't do that."
Yeah, that's
you know,
interesting.
But you know, so. I don't know how that
they're saying some of the people generation. They say some of the people enlisting are good shots because of video games, you know. But the other issue is always is it, as long as nobody's shooting back at you, it's always very easy.
If you're a sniper, maybe you need to be a good shot.
Yeah.
But if you're not, you're just shooting.
You got to make a lot of noise and hope they don't get you.
You just got to shoot. As long as you got bullets in the gun, then you shoot.
That's right.
And you know, you hope you hit something.
That's right.
So that you know, to me, that's not a very good argument for.
Although,
but this, again, it's just my personal.
But, again, this is where they said, you know, one of the other questions they asked me was, did you see the movie? I think they asked me about The Deer Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes. And they said, is that what it was like? I said, I don't know. That was probably what it was like for somebody, but it wasn't what it was like for me. And I said the weirdest part of Vietnam was, to me, was that everybody – within just yards of each other had a different experience. You know, it was just strange to me that, you know, you could be sitting there and watch a helicopter spin down and crash, and it was only, you know, 200 yards away from you, but you had nothing to do with trying to help those people. You had no way to help those people.
Right.
Somebody else was responsible for bringing a rescue copter in and doing all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And that was what was so weird. And, you know, we on the riverboats I was on, we let the Army guys off, And as soon as they were off the boat and we had got done, you know, getting blown to poo-poo, if we had wounded people, we took care of them. They got medevaced off. Then the next thing you do is open a beer or a soda pop and turn on Armed Forces radio and just listen to radio.
Right.
It was just weird.
You just go from one thing to the other. And, you know, it's being detached.
I did tell them this, though. I said, if you want to rent the movie Full Metal Jacket and you don't have to watch the whole thing, but watch the boot camp thing in the front, that's pretty close to what boot camp's like.
Right. Oh, I see.
Remember that guy that was yelling and screaming?
That movie with Mel Gibson that he did up here in Paso, We Were Soldiers.
We Were Young. We Were Soldiers Once and Young.
Like that. I met the author of the book that put together, and he was a photographer that was portrayed in that movie.
Really?
I met him in Sacramento, and he after the movie, because we saw the movie there, and then he he talked about being there, and he talked about the movie, and he said that for the most part, he and the general, and I forget his name now, they were both consultants on this movie, and for the most part, they tried to keep it as realistic as they could, but you know there are some Hollywood aspects that had to enter it because it's a movie.
Right.
So toward the end, there's a helicopter coming in with the miniguns and all that. Well, back in '65, they didn't have those.
No, they didn't.
But most people wouldn't know that.
That's true.
You know, but if any Vietnam veteran who watches that would see that thing and say, you know, that wasn't right. But for the most part, they tried to keep it. They keep it. And this photojournalist, and I can't think of his name right now either. He was portrayed in that movie, and he said, "Yeah, no, it was as accurate as they could get it."
Forgive us for getting off a point here, but it's interesting. I think that once again, Vietnam veterans. Every Vietnam veteran event I've gone to has Vietnam veterans. That's who's there. Nobody else is there. Vietnam veterans are there. I'm very glad that we've taken up the banner of saying, okay, let's welcome home the guys coming home now because they deserve it, and the welcome home heroes people, the Tolans and all that. I mean, all that. We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's really cool that they do that, and I think that's I think it's what should happen. But the interesting thing is one of the things that surprised Vietnam veterans is that we were never spoken to at all. We were never talked to or about the people that preceded us, be it Korea, be it Second World War, be it anything, and so we just shut up.
Right.
You know.
And now, you know, my concern about say the welcome homes is that people get tired of coming. You know, when they're coming in, like one, two
at a time.
I get concerned, although it hasn't shown. I mean, when I go to the welcome homes, and I try to make as many as I can. When we do those, and the crowds are just there. They're there, and they're energetic, and they're loving the soldiers and, the troops coming home. And I just worry that sometimes, you know, because I guess because of our experience, I worry that the general public's going to say, okay, that's enough, you know, or something like that. And I hope that never happens, you know, because each one of them that come home, they deserve that welcome home.
And you're right. What makes it, it's a little bit different because people trickle in one, two at a time. Now, in the next year or so, I guess we'll see more people arriving, you know, in groups. But, you know, of course, the guys that came back on Liberty ships and stuff in the Second World War came in mass,
kind of a thing.
Yeah. I think the Korean War vets, too, I think they always I felt a little bit, you know, like, well, we didn't even really understand what that war was and what's going on with that.
They got pushed under the
I will say this, though. I don't know if you've been to Washington, seeing the Korean War Veteran Memorial.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. I haven't been since they built the World War II Memorial, which makes no sense that wasn't the very first thing they did after these guys came home.
Yeah.
But I thought the Korean War Memorial was very well done. I really liked it.
I think we really should recognize them. The Korean War veterans and Coast Guard.
Yeah.
They seem to be the two that are just kind of like caught in between everything or kind of ignored a little bit.
You know what I've always made sure I do is I always mention Merchant Marines, you know, whenever I did ceremonies, because at first I didn't think that much about it, and yet there were more Merchant Marines killed than sailors killed in the Second World War, which is insane when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and then this war has made, the war in Afghanistan has made us now recognize our National Guardsmen. You know, everybody, you know, they run ads for the National Guard, you know, we'll give you an education, you know, you have to go on the weekends and all that. Yeah. Nobody said we're going to send entire units over to Afghanistan. Yeah. Yeah. And guess what? There they go.
I'm not ashamed to say I tried to get in the National Guard before I got drafted. But they were full up.
I know. I tried to get the Coast Guard, and they were full up.
They were full up. So what happened was there was a lot smarter people than you and I.
That's exactly. They sort of saw the writing on the wall better than we did.
Amazing.
All right. I tell you what we're doing. We're going to take a break. Oh, I took that break. Did I take that break already? I took that break. Forget that break. We're just going to keep on going. So we're going to talk about what's going on. We're going to talk about what's going on. So let's talk about which thing do you want to talk about first, because we got some really important stuff going on.
I would like to take it in the order that they're coming in. The first one would be with the event of it's actually put on by the military parents and friends, and it's going to be on the 26th of this month. It will be this Saturday, as a matter of fact. They're having what they call at 11:30 in Santa Maria at the American Legion Hall, which they have an address of 313 Tunnel Street. They're having a little ceremony which is entitled Remembrance Who Gave Their All Ceremony. And they're going to do some presentations and stuff there, and then they're going to have a barbecue. I believe the barbecues are $10. This military parents and friends and Welcome Home Heroes that you mentioned a little while ago are two charities that Tawny Stoneburner chose as her charities. And Tawny is running for the Elks Rodeo Queen. And
that's pretty soon, isn't it?
Yeah, that should be at the end of it's the first part of June always.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's the end of May. I think the bull riding starts on the 31st, and then it goes on to that. And so, what it is the Queens pick nonprofit organizations to contribute their proceeds to, and they contribute. She will contribute 90% of her proceeds to the two charities that she chose, which again is the Military Parents and Friends and Welcome Home Heroes. And then she gets 10% for her college scholarship. So, you know, we feel I belong with the Military Parents and Friends, so I don't have a child.
Are they the ones that are there's a couple groups doing this. Did they send care packages?
They do.
Yeah, they send the care packages.
They do. And the Military Parents and Friends are families that have gathered who have their kids in the service, and it's kind of like they started as a little group, a little counseling group or whatever, and then they started sending the packages to their kids, and they do that, and then they have adoptive veterans that they will send gifts to also. So every month, yes, they send packages, and of course, you know, the Welcome Home Heroes, the Tolans, Robert and Cheryl, they organize all the welcome homes that are held here.
That's amazing.
And their son is currently serving. He just came back from boot camp, and he's serving in the Army. So now, you know, I mean, they're in that position also. Their son, Robert Jr.
This is Talk is Cheap with Bill Benecker, Richard Segovia, and our phone numbers are 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. If you have any questions about anything we're talking about or any of these upcoming events, we certainly welcome you to buzz in and talk. I want you to do these in order, but then there's going to be two events on Tunnel Street, apparently.
There's going to be that ceremony, which is the, like I said, it's the
Remembrance.
Mm-hmm. For those who gave all. And then they're having their fundraiser, a barbecue, which starts at 12 o'clock. And I believe the barbecue is going to go, I think it's from 12 to 3.
It says noon to 3.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's at 313 West Tunnel Street, right, also in Santa Maria. So that'll be that's a Veterans Day memorial that's going on with that. So that's Saturday, May 26th, pre-Veterans Day, but it's on that Saturday, May 26th.
Yes.
Which is one of my worst days when I was over where we were talking about. Whew, I had a bad May 26th, 1968. I can tell you that.
Mm.
All right, but on the bright side, it's made me wake up every day with a smile on my face and say, I get another chance.
Yeah.
There you go. Now let me ask you again about, because you're one of the, I'm sitting here saying, I just saw it somewhere on here, and I can't see it, and you're a, what do they call them, freedom rider?
Oh, Patriot Guard.
Patriot
I also
Guard.
Ride with the Patriot Guard.
The Patriot
riders.
Guard.
And we do a lot of military funeral escorts primarily, though we participate in the Welcome Homes. The Patriot Guard was initially started for funeral escorts, and there's a group of folks that I really don't like to say their name of their group, but they're not from here. They're from another state, but they were going to military funerals and belittling the veterans that were being laid to rest. They were saying things like they deserve to die. It's a gay army.
Oh, this is crazy.
Baptist
this is
church.
Crazy church. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But they say, and they have threatened to come here. They have put it out to the media that they would come here. So families will call the Patriot Guard, and what we do is we do a flag line. We don't confront them. And if anybody comes, all we are is a barrier between anybody who might be protesting and the family to give them the space that they need. And that's what we do. We'll create flag lines around the services.
Now, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
How do you hold your temper when you confront people like that?
Well, because if you don't, you give them what they want.
I guess.
They want notice.
Right.
They want publicity. And if you give them that, then, they have won.
Yeah.
So the thing that we always have to remember is that it's a mission. We're on the mission. We have to do a job, and we have to do it with respect. We have a family behind us who's laying their loved one to rest, and we have to be very respectful with that. So it's a responsibility. It's a duty.
It's like another thing that's going on right now that's, I think, very interesting is this NATO meeting that's going on,
mm-hmm.
and there's all kinds of protesters. Now,
right.
some people are protesting all sorts of different things, but some of the protesters are actually protesting NATO, and it's like you almost want to tap them on the shoulder and say, NATO used to be called the Western Allies. Remember the Second World War? They won it.
Yeah.
You know. So be very grateful that there is such a thing as NATO, because
right.
otherwise we'd be speaking German right now to each
yeah.
other. You know. So it's like it amazes me sometimes when people protest the things they protest, because it's like they don't understand something.
Yeah, some of the things that you started with, yeah.
All right. Now, so, and about how many people are in the riders?
Patriot Guard riders,
Patriot
there
Guard.
Is no number. You
just,
you
people
just
show
go
up in
online
a motorcycle.
And you register, and then you will get notices. Locally, the American Legion riders participate heavily with Patriot Guard. So oftentimes the Patriot Guard will put the word out to the American Legion riders, and then the American Legion riders then spread it through their network, the emails, and they start going out. And so that
how many would you guess? Well, I have to tell you, when we had the firemen put on that thing in the Tascadero of Vietnam veterans get together last summer, and Nancy and I went to that, and we counted over 100 motorcycles.
Oh yeah,
were at that event.
No, we've done escorts with over 100 bikes locally. We received a serviceman that came back from Bakersfield. We will go to Bakersfield. There's some of the Patriot Guard riders I ride with, they will go as far as, like, say, the Bay Area, you know, Sacramento.
Wow.
They go to Los Angeles.
Wow.
That's their range, you know. And I'm more of a closer range. I will go to Bakersfield. I will go to, you know, like in the San Jose area.
Right.
I really don't care to go to Los Angeles area myself, but that's just my personal deal. But I couldn't tell you. We can go from 25 bikes to 150 to 200 bikes,
wow.
depending on, you know, what's going on.
And with all due respect to the riders, no one with a right mind or any sanity whatsoever would want to go to L.A. on anything.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Over the hill is not good.
It's not good. It's not good. I really, though, appreciate the fact that they will do that. That's really cool. I mean, that's really a dedication.
There was a need.
Yeah.
There was a need at the time, and it's been filled. And it doesn't matter what our political views are. It doesn't matter what our social status is. It doesn't matter. When it comes to the mission, we band together and we stand next to each other, shoulder to shoulder. And it's as if when we were in the military,
right.
we didn't care. We didn't know about each other, but yet we defended each other,
right.
protected each other,
right.
watched for each other. And so that continues in the Patriot Guard, and it continues with the American Legion Riders as well. There's a lot of things that the American Legion Riders are doing now. to participate in community activities and stuff.
I have to admit, I didn't bring up, I think, and this is interesting because what you're talking about right now, and I think this ties in when you talk about, you know, when we were in the military, and especially in Vietnam, and your relationship with others becomes such a strong bond so very fast sometimes, and it's like nothing you'll even experience again. If somebody said to me, do you have as close a friend right now as you had in Vietnam, I'd say no.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have as close a friend.
Right.
And sadly, my closest friend lost both his eyes. But it's just one of those things, you know, that you form these bonds. And then luckily I had some other friends I was very close to, a couple more guys, and they all made it, and everything was hunky-dory, and they're back in the States. But, you know, it's an interesting thing. And then the other thing, I think that the famous line is, there are no atheists in foxholes.
That's right.
And I think if you're an atheist and you're joining up, guess what? At some point, the word God is going to pass your lips. It just is.
Yeah,
I think for sure.
Long
time. All right, so Tawny Stoneburner, Stoneburner. So we much appreciate her efforts, and so by you supporting her, she supports the military parents and friends and the Welcome Home Heroes.
That's correct.
And so, so once again, there's going to be a barbecue this weekend on Saturday, and it's going to be at the
American Legion Hall.
American Legion Hall, again.
Santa Maria.
In Santa Maria.
It's Tunnel Street.
It's on Tunnel Street.
Tunnel and Vine, as a matter of fact.
Tunnel and Vine.
Yep.
Okay. And then you can also write a check out if you'd like to, and that would be very nice, and it's a tax deductible, to Tawny Stoneburner, Elks Queen candidate, and then there's a tax ID number, but you can get that if you're there and you want to donate. That's fine. So anyway, so there's just a lot of great things going on in the Central Coast, and of course we'll have the other ceremonies will be. I know the Lost at Sea Memorial will be at 3:00 on Veterans Day. The Lost at Sea Memorial in Cayucas.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have the event in Los Osos. They'll have the events in Santa Maria. They'll have the events in Paso,
right,
and Atascadero. And I really have to compliment the Atascadero people for that wonderful memorial put in Atascadero. It's very, very nice. And what's interesting in Guadalupe is, and the guy that built the flagpole, the Vietnam Memorial flagpole in Guadalupe, mm-hmm, is a friend of mine.
Oh.
So he was telling me about that project. So when they had the dedication of that, I was there for the dedication of that.
Oh.
We had a little barbecue.
I have the video that he gave me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, it's like a still shot photos of that day when the helicopter came in and the whole thing, because I wasn't there.
And it was
2002.
It was surprising. How many men did Guadalupe lose? In the Vietnam War?
Three. We lost three. Three didn't come home.
Well, there's only 30 people in Guadalupe.
Well, of the 204, I think it's kind of a rough count, but we have approximately 214 that served in the Vietnam era.
Right.
214. And not all of them went to Vietnam, but 214 out of a city of 2,000 was serving at the time of Vietnam, and only three did not come home. And that's three too many, but
you know, another thing that was also weird, I have to tell you, a reflection I had when I was in the service, and that was, I mean, I was from the Philadelphia area, so you figure, okay, you know, they can just round people up in cattle cars in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But here are these people that were from the middle of absolute nowhere, and the draft being what the draft was. You meet these guys, and they were from towns that really had 40, 50 people in them, and they were out in the middle of Kansas somewhere. And you almost want to say, how'd they catch you? How'd they get you? You know, wasn't there a place to hide or something?
Yeah.
You know, because it's almost crazy.
Yeah, Guadalupe was kind of the same way.
This is a situation we're now with, we're not involved in. You know, the United States, the citizens of the United States don't have to be involved in it at all. Of course, they were involved in it in Vietnam because there was a draft. Had there not been a draft, it would be pretty much like what's going on right now, I truly feel.
Yeah.
But then the one thing they wouldn't have to help the new guys is Vietnam veterans. So maybe there's a purpose to all things that happen. I don't know.
Maybe there is.
You know?
Yeah, maybe there is. I hope it works out for them.
Richard Segovia has been my guest. And is there anything else you want to add, sir, about anything?
Well, I would like to talk about the concert.
Oh, I want you to do that.
Yeah. And the Doobie Brothers are going to be playing in Avila Beach on the 27th. So this, the day after this barbecue, the Doobie Brothers. And one Vietnam vet, his name is Jeff Baca. He called me one day, and he knows the one remaining Doobie Brother, mm-hmm, of the originals, and he also knew that the Doobie Brothers over the years have contributed heavily to support Vietnam vets, and so he thought it'd be nice to have a tribute to them, just an informal tribute. And so he asked me if I could help him, and I told him I would. Well, Jeff came up with this flyer, and it's an invitation to all. It starts off as all Vietnam vets, but of course it could be all veterans. And it's going to be at 2 p.m. The tickets are available at Boo Boo Records. They are $44 for the general admission. And it starts at 2 o'clock. I'm not sure if I said that or not. But so we also have a plaque that we're going to try to present to them. And we also have Vietnam campaign necklaces that we're going to try to present to them.
Richard, but I owe Richard the dough for this one, and so I'm going to have to go get another job. But Richard brought me one, and they're very nice, and they're done by a gentleman.
One of our members.
Your members, yeah.
One of our members, his name is Cedro, and he makes the necklaces, and he also makes some beautiful wristbands.
They're totally cool. They have as appropriately. They have they have the Vietnam flag and beads, green on the ends, and then yellow and reds, and then black around those. And it's a really a very. I saw Richard's the other day when we were at the barbecue in
Mission
Park.
For Sam Blakely's barbecue.
Yeah, and so I was like, I gotta get one of those, pal. And so he imports these beads from Czechoslovakia. And so he doesn't even speak Czechoslovakian, so I don't know how he works it out with him. But
they're anyway, beautiful beads.
No, they're very beautiful beads. It's very nice. It's a really,
he
really
does
nice
very good
necklace.
Work.
Yeah, he really does. So what are these going to be, $20 or so?
Yes.
I would encourage you to buy one if you have a friend that's a Vietnam vet or if you're a Vietnam vet yourself. We have lots of things going on. Let's mention one other thing that's going to be happening to help veterans in August. And I've been told two different dates now. I thought I had it smack dab. I wrote it down and everything, and then I was at the barbecue, and the guy that's helping with this said, well, it's this Saturday. And I go, I don't think that's a Saturday you told me. So now he goes, well, I better check. So now neither one of us actually know what Saturday, but it'll be towards the end of August. Louis Ortega is going to do a concert.
We spoke about it that day also.
Right, but I think now I got two dates in my brain here.
Well, I don't think we should say either one of them because I have one date also, but I'm not going to say it because he was not sure about the date. He thought it was going to be on this date.
Okay.
But he said more would come out from that. But yes,
so
Louis Ortega's
going. We'll wait till we know him better.
Right.
Okay, so Louis Ortega and his daughter will be there again, I bet. Remember his daughter?
Yes.
Yeah, his daughter played the flute, wasn't it?
I
think it was the flute. Yeah, yeah, the last time we did it was the flute. And this time it's going to be at the Vets Hall.
Yes.
In San Luis Obispo at Grand and Monterey. Last year we had it out at the Grange Hall or whatever it was out in Morbay. But this year it's going to be at the Vets Hall. So just another way to support vets. It was very nice. It was lots of great music and stuff and brewskis, and it was a nice time was had by all. So if you just want to get together and have some nice music with Louis and his band, and enjoy that. That's coming up in August, but we'll make sure we have the day right. Mm-hmm. So here's many, many, many things going on for veterans, and I so admire Richard for all that he's done in helping the vets coming home, and the fact of the matter is you can help too by donating, and you don't have to show up at the airport. You know, it's nice if you can, but you don't have to show up at the airport, but you know that you can try to help these causes out, and especially by going to this affair with Tawny Stoneburner, who's going to dedicate 90% of her money to this to both causes, and that's totally. But this is a competition, is it not?
Yes, but not for the money part. It used to be that the queens were elected queen by the amount of money that they brought in, but it's no longer that. They have certain qualifications now, and they actually look at their scholarships, their scholastic
history.
You know, yeah. They look at the different aspects of the person themselves, and so they're being judged by this criteria. It's a different criteria now, and it's more of an individual criteria, not the amount of money, because you know it used to be that San Ynez would take all the queens.
That's true.
It used to be, but it's no longer that. And I think last year they didn't even have a queen, and they started it back up again. So
well,
they
here's
have
the interesting
criteria.
Thing. They have the scholastic thing going on, all that stuff with the queen. Unlike somebody once said, why is it we ask Miss America how to come up with world peace, and we don't ask people running for Congress how to do it? So, anyway, she's an attractive young lady and very well versed in many things. She's very involved in a lot of things, so that's really cool. So that's what's, and she's she's right next to a sailor. I'm happy to see that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's good. He's an airman of some kind. And anything else we got?
I do know that there's a job fair tomorrow here in San Luis Obispo.
Is it tomorrow?
Yes, it's the 24th. I'm sorry.
Friday?
What's today?
Is it Friday?
Yes, it's the 24th.
No, that's Thursday.
Yeah. It's the 24th.
You know what? You and I are like the expression, a guy that has a watch always knows what time it is. A guy that has two is never quite sure. So, all right. So it's the
24th.
That's Thursday's a stand down at the Vets Hall. I'm so glad you reminded me of that. And that's going to be from 9 o'clock on for quite a while.
Right.
And so if you're a homeless vet, if you can get word to a homeless vet, they'll try to work with the homeless vets and try to, you know, get them shaped up. If you're a vet looking for a job, there'll be a job fair there. There'll be people there with jobs. And you can interview and talk to these people.
If you're that homeless vet, they ask you to come in between 7 and 9 o'clock. And, you know, if there's any kind of medical needs or anything, then they will try to get you to the clinic. Dana Cummings is the service officer that's there at the vet center. And he's the one that's heading a lot of this up.
The only thing is, I don't think Dana will be there because I called the vet's office yesterday and they said Dana's off for a couple of weeks. So
I'm
sure.
I just saw him on the news last night.
That's okay. I'll tell you what?
On the news.
Oh, on the news. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you. We got the two watches again. No, because I asked. I had to have an appointment and I needed to see somebody. And so I said, I don't care who I see, John or Dana, it doesn't matter to me. And I said, well, Dana's going to be gone. Dana's gone for 2 weeks, but I don't know. Anyway, but you know who will be there then is Milt Batson, who is the Employment Development Veterans Representative. So I know for sure he'll be there. And always wears a big Stars and Stripes hat.
And then in October, I think it's October 13th, but I'll get back to you about the actual date, will be the stand down in Santa Maria.
Okay.
And they're going to have a 2-day stand down at the fairgrounds in Santa Maria. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, there'll be physicians, there'll be dental, there'll be a lot of things happening there to help out the veterans who can't otherwise get help. So
well,
it's a 2-day stand down, but I'll get you more word on that.
Okay, because you get the Lompoc people and stuff with that one, don't you?
They'll come. Hopefully, they'll come from all around. But there is a stand down. It's going to be a 2-day stand down, and Steve Lavanino is actually heading that one up, the son of the mayor in Santa Maria. And he's, I believe, you know, I hope I don't say this wrong, but I believe he's a representative in the county of Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's it, but it may not be. But I do know he's in the political field. So
I think the last thing we should mention, Richard, is that if you're a veteran, you have benefits coming to you, and if you need medical attention, if you need mental attention and medical attention, if you just have any kind of an issue of any kind, you want to go to school, whatever it may be, you know, you have benefits coming. So we'll both encourage you to go to your local vet center, and it doesn't cost a dime to sign up and be part of what's going on. So I'd suggest you do that. All right, that's Richard's. That's Richard. So he's being summoned. He's an important guy. He's an important guy.
That would be a $5 fine to meet him. Sorry. And when you were saying right now about the veterans, that phone. Boy, Bill, that left me
about go get your benefits. That's what I was saying.
That I wanted to say that there's a lot of veterans who don't understand that there's like two different aspects of veterans' issues. There's a medical and there's a claims. You don't have to do both of them. If you are just interested in medical, you could... What's off on this thing?
That's all right. My radio station didn't work when I first went on today. I was like, it faded away. I was like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, so anyway, I just wanted to explain to people that there are two different sections there, the medical and the filing of the claims, and you could do either one. So that's important to know, because you don't have to go through that whole process if you just want the medical. It's available through the VA clinics.
So we'll be let's be upfront about this and tell people. I mean, if you file a claim with the VA, you know, you want disability benefits of some kind, you have a disability, please do it. You know, it takes a long time because there's such a backup now of people, of course. And but you're welcome to. Don't worry about that. That's what we're here. Hey. I can't work a cell phone either, so I'm not. I feel all right. Anyway, I thank Richard Segovia for being my guest today, and Richard will talk again, sir. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sorry about the
that's quite all right.
Cell phone issue.
It doesn't matter whatsoever. It doesn't matter whatsoever. Dream.
falls in.